Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that happened that day. As they talked and discussed these things, a elf came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them named Cleopas asked them, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers had him handed over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what's more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening, the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" Let's pray together. Father, thank you that we can get together this morning to enjoy each other's company and to enjoy your company. I just pray that you would speak to us clearly this morning. Give us an understanding of what you want us to learn. Pray that you would speak to us, that you dwell with us, and you give us joy in your presence as we become more like you. I love you. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Yeah. So whether we like it or not, every once in a while, each of us is guilty of missing the point. We all make mistakes, and we all have misunderstandings from time to time in life. And it doesn't mean that we're evil. It doesn't mean that we're stupid. It just means that sometimes we just don't get it. There's nothing wrong with missing the point sometimes, so long as we're working towards actually understanding what the point is and not just wallowing in our own ignorance. Now, there's one story that I heard. One day, a dad took his little boy to his first football game. They all do that too. Now, the dad and the son had a really good time together. They laughed, they cheered, they yelled in unison at the referee. All kinds of things that a father and son are supposed to do. Now, when the game was done, the dad asked his son what he thought of the football game. And the boy said, "Well, you know, I had fun, but I think the game's kind of silly." Now, his dad was a little bit upset at that point because football was his most favorite thing in the whole world. And the son said, "You know, why was it silly? It's really silly that you have an entire game that's just around getting a coin. When I have lots of them at home." Now, the dad was a little bit confused, so he asked the son to explain. "Well, in the beginning, the ref had the quarter, and he flipped it. And both teams spent the next 3 hours going back and forth, taking turns, trying to get the quarterback." The boy had missed the point of what the game was about. It wasn't about getting the quarterback, it was about getting the quarterback. It was still a fun time, but he didn't get it. So it looked kind of stupid to him. Some of you know what the game's about and still think the game is stupid. But that's a you problem. Now, there's other things that sometimes I think we miss the point on too. Now, this one is just an opinion. But I think sometimes we miss the point of having cars. Cars were invented to make it easier to get from point A to point B. Cars were invented to have a means of transportation that didn't have a will of its own. Cars weren't invented just to be toys. Now, I may be missing the point here, but I don't see the point of having a car that has a huge engine when the speed limit is still around 50 or 110, depending where you are, especially with the higher gas prices. Now, I may be missing the point. I don't see the point of having a half ton if it's your only vehicle when the most you ever haul is groceries. A Neon will do that for a quarter of the cost for you. Now, maybe I'm missing the point. But I just think that there's a lot better ways that we can have fun in this world than to waste money on the liquidy remnants of creatures that lived thousands, maybe millions of years ago, for the sole purpose of burning them. Because that's all we do with gas. We're all sometimes guilty of missing the point from time to time. Now, in the situation we're looking at here this morning that I read from Luke, one of the people in the discussion was actually the point of the discussion. If anybody should get the point, it would be him. Jesus knew what the point of his life, death, and resurrection were. If anybody would know, he would. He knew why he came to earth and what the point of it all was. If anybody should know, he should. Now, unfortunately, the two guys that he was talking with were so convinced that they already understood the point that they completely missed the point. Looking at their conversation like I have over the last couple of weeks here, it's got me to a couple of conclusions. But I think even more importantly, it's brought me to a couple of important questions. We'll get to those a little bit later, though. I'm pretty much convinced, though, that we have to be open to the idea that we have something wrong if we're ever going to get it all right. Now, the first thing that can be kind of a hindrance to that is only talking with people that agree with you. Only talking with people who agree with you isn't really helpful in the long run. If you take a look at verses 13 and 14 here, it says that now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. When you're searching for the truth, when you're searching for good understanding, the last thing that you really need is to be surrounding yourself with yes men. People that just agree with you on absolutely everything. We need some other opinions from time to time to be able to challenge our thinking and really make us think about what it is that we believe. We need some other opinions to challenge where we are so we can get to where we need to be. Now, the two men were walking and talking about what happened, it said. They both had exactly the same point of view. They had exactly the same facts. And they really had nothing to add to each other's thoughts. They weren't going to understand anything any better by just pooling their own ignorance together. Now, we sometimes get comfortable in our own Christian circles. We get comfortable talking with people who see things exactly the same way as we do. We aren't challenged by them. We aren't challenged and we make each other feel better because we see things exactly the same way. Without other perspectives, though, different Christians or even non-Christians, we can sometimes get really comfortable with our own views and stop thinking about what it really is that God's views are. Now, you may not have noticed, but The Simpsons, the TV show, has some really helpful social commentary on it sometimes. It shows and says things in kind of a lighthearted manner that it can pretty much poke fun at anybody or anything and get away with it. Now, one of the episodes shows the danger of being surrounded by people who only see things the way that you do and just agree with you. Mr. Burns, the owner of the nuclear factory, went broke. Because all his stocks went down the tubes. So, girls, we have a little skit here this morning. I can't afford to buy the DVD set for you to show you on screen, so we've got a little human recreation here. To set the scene for you, Mr. Burns has just found out he's broke, and he's called in all his accountants and such to explain to him why this has happened. And because we didn't have any guys who want to do it, Carly is Mr. Burns. You're just going to have to work with me here.
Yes, sir, absolutely.
Oh, I see it now. You're just a bunch of yes men.
I was making all the wrong moves, and you're just too gutless to tell me. Yes, sir, absolutely. All the moves were wrong.
Thank you, ladies. Now, as you can see, there can be a lot of danger in only listening to people who agree with you. But yet, as Christians, we're often guilty of doing exactly that. We section ourselves often into different denominations, so that we only have to deal with people who see and do things exactly the same way we do. If there's a Christian we don't agree with sometimes, we question if they're really a Christian, or if they really are saved, or if they're really reading their Bible in the proper way. We can be guilty of taking for granted things that we know are right, without really looking at what the truth of the situation actually is. Sometimes we have to be open to the idea that we have something wrong if we're ever going to get things totally right. So the first question that came to my mind this week after reading this is, what do we currently know but actually have wrong that keeps us from seeing the truth? I'm just going to read verses 15 to 24 here. It says, as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked among them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, Cleopas, asked them, are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days? What things, he asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what's more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us all that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it was just as the women had said, but they did not see. These two guys thought they knew it all, and they explained to Jesus everything that had happened in the last few days. They had all the facts. They had all the facts straight, but their understanding of those facts was completely wrong. You can tell that they were pretty skeptical, in the end, of what actually happened to Jesus. Who Jesus really was. Was he the Messiah? Or was Jesus just another teacher now? Jesus wouldn't have been upset over what they were saying if they weren't a little skeptical. They weren't trying to distort the facts, it would be difficult. They just honestly couldn't comprehend what had happened. Because they were already so convinced of the way things were supposed to be. They thought that this Messiah was supposed to be a conquering king that was going to set everything straight and dethrone the Romans and set up the Jewish empire all over again. Now, we read the exact same Old Testament that they had, but we come to totally different conclusions when we read it than they did. And we sometimes scoff at the people in the Old Testament, or these people in this story, because how could they have had it so wrong? But because we only know it because we cheated. We already know the ending. We already know the story of the Messiah. They were so convinced that they understood the prophecies properly that they didn't take time to think through the facts as they were once Jesus came, died, and was resurrected. And this got me to thinking, what do we think we have right that we're totally wrong about? The church has been guilty of making a lot of different mistakes over the centuries. Mistakes on racism, on sexism, on slavery. So it's fair to say that we might still not have it all right. What things do we have wrong that people are going to scoff at 100 years from now? Is it going to be the idea that women shouldn't be ordained? Is it going to be how we treat homosexuals? Is it going to be how we treat other races? Is it going to be how we divide ourselves over pretty petty little theology points? Is it going to be how we spend our money on ourselves in excess while we live in the midst of poverty all around us? I'm not necessarily saying that we're right or wrong on any of these things per se, but I think that there are important things that we need to openly think about and discuss to make sure that we're on the right track. Just like the two men were so focused on what they were sure they knew was right and missed the point of Jesus' life, we sometimes get so focused on things that we can miss the point sometimes too. So, I've got a video here that's a little test for you.
This is an awareness test. How many passes does the team in white make? The answer, 13. But did you see the moonwalking bear?
Okay, so what I'm talking about this morning has nothing to do with cyclists. But I think it makes a point. Sometimes we get so focused on something, or so convinced that we know what we're looking for, that we can miss the point of what we're actually supposed to be finding, and miss the point of what God actually means. We need to be willing to openly and honestly examine our beliefs and values to make sure that they're God's beliefs and values. You can't trust everything that you read, or everything that you're told. Whether it's a book, or in a Bible study, or a radio preacher, or this preacher here this morning. As my professor once said in Bible college, we all have our warts. We've all got points that we're probably missing it on. All things that we'd like to hide, maybe, and all things that we've got wrong. We need to work hard not to miss the point. We have to be open to the idea that we may have some things wrong if we're ever going to get it right. The next thing is, what do we need to learn before we can see our faith as it truly is supposed to be? I'm just going to read from verses 25 to 27 here. Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the other prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." Now, Jesus got pretty upset here when he heard these guys' statement of the facts as they thought they were. And he basically said, "You idiots! Don't you understand anything?" Then he took them through and showed them the way that things actually were. He showed them the things that they had misunderstood and what they actually meant. They had to learn a few lessons of what they had wrong first before they could understand what God was really at work doing. And we need to constantly be examining what it is that we believe and what we're taught so that we can stay on the right track too. We need to be open to correction if we're going to be willing to admit that we have some things wrong. No one has it all right. And I'm pretty sure that no one has absolutely everything wrong either. We need to be open to the fact, though, that we probably have some things wrong, or that we may be wrong, and we are in need of change, before we can move forward in our relationship with God. Now, these two guys didn't know what it was that they were missing. They didn't know who it was that was talking to them. But it was obvious he knew what he was talking about. And they were willing to be taught by him. Now, in the same way, we need to be open to correction and learning for whatever the truth might be. Now, it could come from asking God for some new perspective. It could be from somebody that we know and trust. It could be from someone we've never met before or know little about. It could even be from somebody outside of our faith that makes an interesting point that makes us rethink things again. It could be an author or a director or a writer or a speaker or the clerk at the grocery store. Now, one of my favorite authors is a guy named Douglas Copeland. He's not a Christian author, but often what he's written has actually brought me a lot closer to God and made me really examine things in the human condition as it is. It's helped me to clarify. I don't believe everything that he says, but he has a lot of helpful insights. Don't believe everything that you ever hear or read, but take from it what you can. We have to be open to the idea that we have some things wrong if we're ever going to get it all right. And we need to make sure that we understand the basics before we can understand the whole story. It says in the beginning of this story that God kept the men from recognizing Jesus when they initially met on the road. Now, if they didn't take the time to understand the way things were and the way that they were supposed to be, they would never have any way to understand why Jesus did what he did and what it meant. Sometimes if we don't take the time to get the basics understood properly, we shouldn't expect God to reveal new things to us. Or just because we follow tradition, because it's the way it's always been. If we don't take the time to get the basics understood properly, we shouldn't expect God to reveal things on any deeper or more important level. We need to constantly examine what it is that we believe and why we believe it, rather than just following tradition blindly because it's the way we've always done. Following tradition for the sake of tradition is pretty much a certain way to miss the point. You can't just listen to what you've always thought, or what you've always been taught. Preachers and authors and such aren't always right, so you need to be discerning people. Sometimes we don't recognize God when he stares us right in the face, because we're all looking for something or someone else. We can eventually understand in hindsight, but we should work to understand things now, so that we don't have to apologize for having to see it in hindsight later. Jesus spent a lot of time trying to open people's eyes to the truth. He spent the entire Sermon on the Mount dispelling people's misconceptions about what following God really was, and what following the law was really all about. He said, don't just not murder. Don't even get angry. He said, don't just not commit adultery. He said, don't even lust. He said, don't just pray and fast. Do them for God's pleasure, not men's. He said things like, blessed are the meek and the merciful, and blessed are the peacemakers. Not just the ones who are overwhelming leaders that get command with great armies. I don't think we all get those kinds of aha moments, but every once in a while, we'll have that kind of moment where things come clear. Where something or someone opens our eyes to what the truth is. And it changes everything. That's what Jesus came to do. That's what Jesus is still doing today. Through the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our midst. We just need to make sure that we're willing to be taught. We have to be open to the idea that we may have some things wrong if we're ever going to get it all right. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you so much that you were willing to take the time and the pain and the sacrifice to come to be with us. That you haven't given up on us throughout thousands and thousands of years of failure. We thank you that you love us nonetheless and that you want nothing but the best for us. That you want us to become more like you. That you want us to learn. That you want us to serve you and that you want us to know you as you are. Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to be convicted enough and willing enough to learn and take time to really see you as you are and to be a part of your work.